His word. But today we're ending our summer body loading series, which has been a series about growing us spiritually and us becoming who God has called us to be, taking the spiritual steps to be who He's called us to be. Because a lot of times we'll place a lot of emphasis on our physical well-being, which is good. We should do that. But even more, we should put more emphasis on our spiritual well-being. And I like to say it like this, that your spiritual health is not the only important part of your life, but it is the most important part of your life. Because as you go spiritually, so does everything else in your life. And so we want to grow spiritually to be who God has called us to be. And next Sunday, everybody say next Sunday. Next Sunday, we're starting a brand new series called The GOAT. And we put some invite cards in your chairs today, and we got some in the hallway in the lobby area. We want y'all to invite people to church next Sunday, really for the month of July. This series, y'all, has been a series that I've been praying into since last year, and I'm ready and excited to preach it. I promise you it's going to be a game changer. So we look forward to what God's going to do. But let's go to the book of Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. And I'm believing God's going to speak to us in a great way today. Here's what the Bible says. While traveling in Jerusalem, he passed between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 men with leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he told them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And while they were going, they were cleansed. But one of them, seeing that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice gave glory to God. He fell face down at his feet, thanking him, and he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus said, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Didn't any return to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he told him, get up and go on your way. Your faith has saved you. Going back to verse 16, says this, he fell face down at his feet, thanking him, and he was a Samaritan. I want to preach from this theme of thought as we conclude our series, Summer Body Loading. I want to preach from this theme of thought. It could have gone another way. Tell the person beside you, it could have gone another way. Come on, find somebody else and tell them, it didn't have to happen this way. Amen. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness and your grace. We pray that as we hear your word, that you would speak to us and renew our minds and our hearts. May we leave this place better than how we came in. In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Amen. You can be seated. It could have gone another way. American author Eric Hoffer says this, that the hardest arithmetic to master is that which enables us to count our blessings. The hardest arithmetic to master is that which enables us to count our blessings. I like this quote, family, because I believe that it lifts up something that we all at times struggle to do, and that is to have an attitude of gratitude. Gratitude meaning being thankful for what you've experienced and or for what you have received. I found this funny quote online that I think some of us might like. Some of us, you might not like it. I don't know. But I thought it was funny. And this person said, the thing I'm most grateful for right now is elastic waistbands. How many of y'all are grateful for the fact that things begin to stretch in your life to accommodate? I remember when Ariel was pregnant with all of our children, she had this type of jean and outfit that would stretch as you grew and as the baby would grow. And I was fascinated by it. Isn't it interesting how this thing grows with you? Don't that sound like the grace of God? That God's grace is able to accommodate things in your life. Come on, all the mothers in here say amen if you know what I'm talking about. But I love this because what it speaks to is at the core, even in the most simplistic and comical way, this spirit of gratitude. And when I think about that, it causes me to ask this question when it comes to gratitude. Are you and I living with this attitude and with this posture of gratitude? Do we find ourselves being thankful for the things in our life, or do we oftentimes take them for granted? How often, can I ask us a question? How often do we take for granted the breath in our body? How often do we take for granted the fact that we can wake up this morning and get in our car or catch an Uber or catch a ride to church this morning? How often do we take for granted the fact that we have a little bit of income or maybe a lot of income? How often do we maybe take for granted the physical ability that we have to be able to do some of the simple things in our life? How often, maybe this might convict you like it convicts me when I thought about it this week. How often do we take for granted what God did in one season, which is the very thing that we prayed for in that season? How often do we take for granted the things that we have and fail to be grateful for what we have? Somebody say, where's your manners? Gotta learn to say thank you sometimes. Being grateful is something that we know is good, but let's be real, family. We know that it's good, but it's not always something that we practice. It's not always something that we do. One of the things that God has oftentimes convicted me of is before you ask for something else, be grateful for what you already have. One of the things that we're always trying to get our children to recognize and to have an understanding of is you need to let your thank you be just as loud, if not as loud, as your request. Keep the same energy with your thank you as it was with your request. But let's be honest. Our thank you is sometimes not as loud as our request. And that brings us here to Luke chapter 17. Because in this passage, we see Jesus continuing his journey, his ministry of helping and healing people of all kinds. And the Bible says that he specifically finds himself now in this village, in this area between Samaria and Galilee. And the Bible also talks about how Jesus is having this encounter with 10 men who have this disease called leprosy. Everybody say leprosy. In case you don't know anything about leprosy was a big deal back in their day and back in their time. It was a serious skin disease that if you had it, you had to, many things had to actually happen. One of them being that if you got leprosy or the skin disease, because they would believe it to be contagious, you had to stay away from people and be isolated from people for a designated period of time. As a matter of fact, if you find yourself coming into the presence of others who did not have leprosy, one of the things that you had to do, according to the Levitical mandate back in the book of Leviticus, chapter 13 and 14, was you had to shout, unclean, unclean. You had to make your situation knowledgeable to everybody else around. In other words, you couldn't just be fraternizing with people if you had this ailment. You had to be isolated. So people who lived with leprosy, who had leprosy, oftentimes would even be living in what was known as a leper colony, a place that was filled with other people who had leprosy. Leprosy was a disease that many people feared to get. It was a severe skin disease. It damaged your skin, and your skin would peel, and it would have boils and things of that nature all over your body, and it would impact the mobility of your arms or of your legs. It would impact your eyesight, and not only did it have an impact on you physically, but as I mentioned, it had an impact on you socially and relationally. And here in this text, there's 10 men here who have leprosy. They have a physical ailment, or in other words, they are unhealthy physically because of this skin disease known as leprosy. And to make matters worse, family, leprosy was a skin disease back in this time that was considered to be incurable. There was no remedy for this. There was no vaccine for this. There was no ointment or any type of lotion that you could put on or cream that you could put on to heal you of this disease. Many believe that once you got this disease, more than likely you would die with this disease. And these men here find themselves in this situation of being consumed by leprosy. The Bible doesn't tell us how long they had it, but what we can kind of gather from the text is it obviously must have been so bad that they found themselves shouting out loud to the one that they heard heals people, asking him for healing. These men had been living with leprosy, and there's no prospect that it would get better on its own or that it would change on its own. And I believe that many of us are here today like these 10 men. Yeah, we might not have leprosy, but you and I have been in and are in some unfavorable and undesirable situations right now in our own life. We may find ourselves consumed with some things that we did not want to sign up for, situations that feel unbearable, feel uncomfortable, feel unlikable. And no matter what we've done, the situation has not changed. It's unbearable and it's uncomfortable and it's not something that we wanted. And for some of us, we've tried this and we've tried that and things have not gotten better. In all actuality, for some of us, they've gotten worse. And it appears that there's no hope. But I love the Bible because in spite of how bad things have been in our own lives, and as we see even here in this text, what the Bible helps us to see is that no matter how bad things look, Jesus is not too far off. I thought I would get a few more amens and celebratory responses there. In spite of how ugly this is, in spite of how bad this situation is for all 10 of these brothers here, the good news is that Jesus isn't that far away. Why is this hope and encouragement for us today? Because here's what this lets us know. It does not matter how bad you are in a situation right now. It doesn't matter how unbearable it is. It doesn't matter how uncomfortable it is. It doesn't matter how unlikely it is. The good news is that Jesus sees you in the midst of what you're dealing with. Which is why here the Bible says, watch what the text says. The Bible says, when he saw them, verse 14, when he saw them in their condition. He saw them in their pain. He saw them in their trouble. He saw them in their isolation from people. Why is this good news? Because Jesus sees us in spite of what we're facing. He sees us in spite of what we're feeling. He sees us when we're far from him. He sees us when we're dysfunctional. He sees us no matter how far we are from him. He's still close enough to us to see us. Jesus sees you. Family, he hears you, he cares about you, he loves you, which means this, he isn't ignoring you. He isn't walking by you, he's actually walking to you. I love this passage of scripture, family, because the Bible says, because of their skin disease, the text says that they were at a distance. They stood at a distance because remember, if you had leprosy, you couldn't be around people and you had to be some distance away. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us how far they were, but they had to be obviously far enough to where they couldn't be in contact with other people, including Jesus in their eyes. And even though they shout and are far away, they were still close enough for Jesus to see them. I love this. Because it does not matter how far from God you feel like you are today. It doesn't matter how far you feel you've drifted from the purpose of God on your life and the plan of God on your life. I want to let you know here today that Jesus sees you, that he has his eye on you, that he has not abandoned you, that he has not forsaken you. Some of you all need to know that today because you're walking through some dark things and some difficult things right now, and you might feel alone and you might feel abandoned, but I'm here to let you know and to give you encouragement to let you know that Jesus sees you. That he still has his eyes on you. And notice what the Bible says in verse 14. It says that he sees them and he tells them, go and show yourselves to the priests. Why does he say this? Because back in the book of Leviticus, scripture says that the priests back then had to examine someone if they had leprosy to pronounce whether or not they were still unclean or whether or not they are clean. And it's interesting because the Bible says this, go show yourselves to the priests. And while they were going, they were cleansed. While they were going, they were cleansed. They weren't cleansed right when Jesus said it. They were cleansed after Jesus said what he said, and they started walking according to what he said. This is not a sermon all about this, but can I give you just this practical aspect of wisdom that sometimes, oftentimes, the breakthrough that you and I are longing for is connected to us obeying what God said. And for some of us, you've been trying to figure out, why is this not working in my life? Could it be that I'm not trusting and stepping out on faith and doing what God said to do? Could it be that I'm not coming into alignment and coming into agreement with the Word of God and with the ways of God? But I'm here to let you know that if you will begin to come into alignment with God's Word and come into agreement with what God says, that's when you might begin to see some transformation. That's when you might begin to see some direction. That's when you might begin to see doors begin to open. That's when you might begin to see breakthroughs begin to happen. Because the healing happened while they were walking. While they were stepping out on faith. Can I ask you a question? What is the thing that God has called you to do that you are still sitting on right now? Some of us have been asking, God, would you do this? And God, would you do that? And he's saying, you think you're waiting on me, but I'm really waiting on you. Jesus will not do, let me say this, I want you to hear this. Jesus will not do for you what he has called you to do for yourself. He ain't walking for you. He's called you to take that step of faith. He's not going to love your enemy for you. He's called you, oh, we're getting real now. He's called you to love them because he's given you power and authority and permission to do that. What is the thing right now that Jesus is calling you to take a step of faith on? That's a whole other message for a whole other time. I want to get back to what we're talking about here. Because what's happening right here is these brothers, these men, these 10 guys who had this leprosy, they're walking and they're trusting what God has said, what Jesus has said, and they begin to experience this healing. Let me say it like this, family. I didn't say this in the first service, so y'all special because y'all get this in this service. Some miracles are motion activated. Some of y'all are waiting on God. God's waiting on you. As they went, they got healed. And the miracle here, family, is that Jesus is doing something for them that they could not do for themselves. I want y'all to know something, family. Jesus did not have to talk to these brothers. He did not have to respond to their requests. He did not have to engage in conversation. But Jesus is the barrier-breaking, bridge-building God who has come to transform our lives. Jesus, even though he didn't have to do it, he chose to do it. And I thank God for that, because what it shows us is that it could have gone another way. Jesus could have went another way to get to Jerusalem, but he conveniently, which we realize is not just convenience, but it's intentionality, he intentionally chose to go down this route because he knew that there were some people who are in need. And I'm here to let you know that Jesus has intentionally created this space today and brought you here today because there's something that he wants to do in your life today. I love this because it shows us that Jesus is the eternal trainer who can heal and transform our soul, just like he is the earthly trainer who can heal and transform our body. And the Bible says that he travels between Samaria and Galilee to get to Jerusalem, but he could have gone another way to get there. He could have gone another way to get there. The grace in this text is not in just what Jesus does, but it's also in how Jesus moves. When Jesus makes moves, he makes power moves. He never does anything unintentionally. He always does things intentionally. He doesn't do things accidentally. He always does things purposefully. He could have passed by their village, but he made a conscious decision to walk through their village. And here's why this is good news, because Jesus could have passed by your life, but he has intentionally come here today because he wants to come into your life. He could have gone another way, but he came through anyway. He could have left you by yourself, but he set it up so you could be here today. He could have abandoned you in the midst of your darkness, but Jesus stepped into your life in the middle of the darkness. Thank God that Jesus, even though he could have passed me by, he actually comes to me. And not only do we see the goodness of God here, but we see something that I want to teach you today for the next few moments from this text. We not only see grace, but we also now see gratitude. Everybody say gratitude. We see this gratitude from this brother. And this is important for us to understand. Why? Because the most important or the proper response to God's goodness should be our gratitude. The proper response to what God has done should be gratitude. And I'm going to help you see in a moment how good God has been to you, as we see here in this text. But from the outset, I need you to understand that the proper response to his goodness is our gratitude. Gratitude is about the posture of my heart. And a major key to you growing spiritually and a major key to you, your spiritual well-being, is cultivating a spirit of gratitude and thanksgiving to God. A major component of your spiritual well-being is being grateful, having a grateful spirit. Let me give us number one lesson when it comes to gratitude. I want you to write this down. Here's what we see. The first lesson in this text, we see the reason for gratitude. I want you to look at verse 15. It says, but one of them, seeing that he was healed, returned. One of them, seeing that he was healed. How many lepers were there? Come on, it's not a trick question. It's open book test, right? How many were there? But only one came back. And the Bible says, one person saw that he was healed, and he turned around and came back. In other words, he saw that who he is now is not who he used to be before. There has been a transformation on his part. The man is aware that Jesus was the one who healed him, and nothing or no one else could take credit for this at all. The man has a clear understanding of where he has come from to where he is now, in terms of his physical well-being. He's gone from suffering physically to being healed physically. Let me say it like this. It's almost like this brother has a I remember when spirit about him in his return to Jesus. I remember when I used to struggle. I remember when I used to have to stay away from people. I remember when I used to have sores on my body. I remember when I used to not be able to see. I remember when I used to barely be able to walk. But now all of a sudden, I got mobility in my limbs and I got mobility in my arms. And all of a sudden, I can begin to see clearly. And the sores on my body have dried up. But I remember that it hadn't always used to be like that. And the reason why he's grateful is because he remembers. He reflects and he recognizes who he is now was not who he used to be before. Can I ask you a question, church family? Do you have a memory of times in your life when things aren't what they are now? Do you remember, for some of you, what it was like to have no food in your pantry and no food in your house? Do you remember what it was like to be struggling to make ends meet? Do you remember what it was like to be in a lowly place? Do you remember what God had brought you from? Do you remember the great things that God did in your life? Come on, don't look at me like that. I need you to go back down memory lane. How it is right now is not how it always used to be. And how things are right now is not always how they're going to be. Thank God that we can look back and begin to see the good things and the great things that God has done in our life. Why? Because life could have gone another way. Here's what Psalm 124 says. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say again, if the Lord had not been on our side. I grew up in church and they would say something like this. Had it not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? Had it not been for the Lord, some of y'all would still be depressed right now. Had it not been for the Lord, some of y'all would still be in darkness right now. Had it not been for the Lord, you wouldn't have made it through the thing that you made it through. Had it not been for the Lord, you would still be stuck in bondage and you would still be stuck in sin. But thanks be unto God that the Lord was on your side. He has done some things. I know your life isn't perfect right now, and I know you might not have everything that you want, but I'm here to remind you that God has done some things in your life, that God has been faithful to you in your life, that God has shown goodness to you in your life. I remember when. And I think for some of us, where we get hung up in not having a spirit of gratitude is because we got short-term memory of what God has done in our life. But for some of you in here, if the Lord had not been on your side, your decisions would have ruined your life. Sickness would have taken you out. You wouldn't have survived the car accident. You wouldn't have made it through the dark time that you went through in your life. Had the Lord not been in your life, had it not been for the Lord who was on your side, life would have looked different. But Jesus stepped in and changed your life. He healed your body. He opened up the door. He did for you what you couldn't do for yourself. And I like what this one person says. It's an unknown quote, but they say it like this. If you can't be content with what you have received, be thankful for what you have escaped. I don't know about y'all, but that resonated with me because I look back over my life and there's been times in my life where I found myself in troubling situations and I got myself in some stuff that I could not get myself out of. But then God made a way. But then God opened up the door. But then God had mercy on me and he showed grace to me. God was the one who healed your body. God was the one who opened up the door. God was the one who saved your soul. God was the one who provided for you. God was the one who brought you out of that dark time in your life. God was the one who kept that situation from being worse than what it actually could have been. God was the one who made ways out of no ways. God was the one. You got a reason to be grateful. I recently saw something on YouTube where this guy was celebrating the fact that he finally had something happen for him that he had been longing for and hoping for. And he said something that I paused and thought was interesting. He said, I'm thankful that the universe saw fit to make this happen. And I couldn't help but to chuckle when I saw that and to hear him say that. Because what I wanted to say, if I would have been talking with him in person, hey, bro, no disrespect, but the universe didn't do that for you. The universe did not align that for you. It was the God of the universe who aligned that for you. It was the creator of the universe who did that for you. That was Jesus. That was God. God was the one who did that. God was the one who opened up the door. God was the one who blessed. Let me say it like this, because for some of us, we've even adopted some of that type of language from modern culture today, that the universe did this, and if the universe sees fit. Let me help you understand something. Don't give the universe credit for something that Jesus, the creator of the universe, did. Stop giving the creation credit and start giving the creator credit. God did that. God was the one who healed your body of cancer, not the universe. God was the one who provided for you, not the universe. God was the one who did the great thing for you. It was him. And well before DJ Khaled came out with that song, God did. It started with him. In the beginning, God. Case closed. It was God who did this. And many times, we oftentimes feel tempted not to have gratitude, but we feel tempted to complain about all the things that are going wrong in our lives. This isn't working, so we complain about this. And this person isn't doing what we want them to do, so we complain about this. But can I encourage you that when you feel tempted to complain, lean in the direction of being thankful. Find something to be thankful about, because God has done great things in your life, no matter even how bad your life may look right now. Matter of fact, in the Old Testament, God's people that he delivered from Egyptian captivity, he literally set them free from Pharaoh. They had been in bondage for hundreds of years, and God delivered them, and how he did it was in a supernatural way. He split the Red Sea and caused them to walk on dry ground. But do you know what these people started doing later on? Complaining against God. Having an ungrateful spirit towards God, and a whole generation died off because they didn't have the right spirit. They complained, and they got judged, and got dealt with because of it. And I want to help you be very leery of something. That what makes something a gift in our lives and to our lives isn't that we receive it, but it's how we perceive it. It's how you see it. Some of us, because we haven't had a grateful spirit, the blessings of God have spoiled in your life. The manna that you prayed for one day because you didn't offer it back to God with thanksgiving spoiled the same day. Isn't it interesting that some of the things that we prayed and fasted about, we now end up complaining about. God, would you bless me with a job? And then God makes a way. God, now I hate this job. Gratitude. Thankfulness. We got reasons, family, to be grateful. Why? Because things could have gone another way. It could be 10 times worse than what it is right now. It can be bad on another level compared to what it is right now. This is why Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in everything. It's interesting because the writer doesn't say give thanks for everything. It says give thanks in everything. Why? Because there's going to be some high moments in my life and there's going to be some low moments in my life. But the one thing that does not change, the one thing that is always consistent, the one thing that I can always count on is Jesus Christ himself, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So if life is good, I give him thanks. If life isn't so good, I give him thanks. If life is great, I give him thanks. If life isn't so great, I still give him thanks, because he is good. We should be in this constant rhythm, family, of reflecting and remembering and rejoicing about the goodness of God in our lives. For some of us, you need to start keeping a what I like to call a gratitude journal. You need to begin to write some stuff down, type some stuff out of all the things that God. I want you to go back over the course of this week and find the things that God has done in your life. Some of y'all didn't think you would make it to Sunday, but you did. Write that down. Some of y'all didn't know how you were going to make it through this last month, but you did. Write that down. Some of you didn't know how you were going to survive the divorce. You didn't know how you were going to survive the trauma. You didn't know how you were going to survive the death. But you did anyhow. Write that down, because God has been good. We need to be in this constant rhythm of reflecting and exercising this muscle called gratitude in our life. We constantly have this posture of what I like to say, counting our blessings. We like to count our burdens, but don't like to count our blessings. Could I encourage you in the physical and when you're working out, they oftentimes say some of the reason why you might not be getting the growth and the gains that you have is because your form is poor. You have poor lifting technique. So you're not seeing the gains that you want to see. Could it be the same in the spiritual? That part of the reason why we're not seeing the gains is because we got poor form. That instead of having right form in the form of gratitude, we got poor form in the form of complaining. And we wonder why our spirit is low. And we wonder why nothing good is coming out of our life. And we wonder why our mood is always here. But when you begin to shift your perspective and begin to give God thanks and begin to be grateful for all that God has done, watch how things in your life begin to change. Which now leads to the second thought. Not just the reason for gratitude, but now the expression of gratitude. Everybody say the expression. I want to let you know that gratitude has an expression, and we see it here in this text, because the Bible says in verse 15, but one of them, seeing that he was healed, he returned and with a loud voice gave glory to God. And he bowed, fell face down at Jesus' feet, thanking him, and he was a Samaritan. Watch what the text says. It says, with a loud voice. In other words, brother wasn't quiet about his gratitude. He made a lot of noise about it. He wasn't, what I like to say, the frozen chosen when it came to the faithfulness of God. He had something to say about it. Because when you truly appreciate what God has done, you can't be quiet about it. The man opened up his mouth giving God thanks because he knows he healed them. But then he also bows down at the feet of Jesus. All this is a posture of worship. The man was expressive with his gratitude towards God, not passive with it. Because true gratitude to God is expressive, not passive. Gratitude has an expression to it. It may look like telling God, thank you with my words, which means this: there should not be a single day that goes by where we don't tell God thank you. You woke up this morning, tell him thank you. You were able to get in your vehicle to get here? Tell him thank you. You were able to log on the stream? Tell him thank you. You were able, come on somebody, you were able to walk on your limbs? Tell him thank you. You were able to make it through this week? Tell him thank you. Tell him thank you every single day for all the great things that he has done. Don't be silent about it. Be vocal about it. Be expressive about it. The man with a loud voice, he came and he gave glory to God, meaning this, he's giving Jesus all the credit. He's worshiping him right now. And he's not just talking a good game. He's actually laying prostrate at the feet of Jesus. He is bowed down at the feet of Jesus, which shows us something about our life, that our life should be an expression of gratitude to God. How we live our life tells God, thank you. Keeping not just a gratitude record and journal for all that God has done, but now celebrating all that God has done. Coming to church regularly is an exercise of gratitude. This is why coming to church for me is not negotiable. This is not about being legalistic. This is about being appreciative for what God did. And if I can't get here in person, I'm going to watch online. Because I got to give God my praise for all that he's done, because I didn't deserve it and I didn't earn it. Serving others is an act of gratitude. I show God that I'm grateful by serving others. This is why serving on a team is so important. This is why we encourage you. You need to get involved in the ministry of the church. You don't need to just come in here and consume. It's time for you to contribute. God wants to use you. Let that be a form of thank you to God. The way I can show my thanks to God is by giving him my time. But another way I can show my thanks to God is by giving him my treasure. This is why we give as a church to God through the local church financially. How crazy is it for me to not give financially back to God when he was the one who gave it to me in the first place? How am I stingy with the one who made a way for me? It's an act of gratitude, because grateful people are giving people. When you recognize what you have and you're truly appreciative for it, it causes you to overflow with generosity. Why? Because God has given something to me, and now in response, I'm compelled to give something to him. I can't come here empty-handed. I can't live my life any way I want to when Jesus poured out his life so I could have life. I want to give him my best. He's not looking for perfection. He's looking for participation. Will I offer him my best? And this is not transactional. This is actually relational and appreciation, because we're expressing to God all that he's done for us. And the Bible is filled with so many expressions of gratitude. I just gave you a few, but I'm going to give you a few scriptures. Here's what Psalm 107:1 says. Give thanks to the Lord. Why? For he is good. But life isn't good, but God still is. Give him thanks. His faithful love endures forever. Meaning this, his love, that word, that faithful love there is this Hebrew word, kissed or hesed, and it means this everlasting love, that God never withdraws his love from you. Meaning he's ride or die. He ain't going nowhere. But here's what Psalm 115 says. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name we give glory, because of your faithful love, because of your truth. So God is the reason why we express our praise. But then here's what Psalm 47 verse 1 says. It gets very specific now with how we should do it. Clap your hands, all you peoples. All you peoples, not just people, peoples. Peoples with an S. Shout to God, shout to God with a jubilant cry. Clap your hands, shout to God. Some of us have believed this lie. I'm not an emotional or an expressive person. If I were to find you on the football field cheering for your favorite team, or for your kid on the football field, or on the soccer field, or on the ballet, you will be some of the loudest people, and rightfully so. Shouldn't we not give God praise, the one who opened up doors, the one who saved our souls, the one who forgave us, the one who cleansed us? Shouldn't we not give God a great praise for all that he's done? Here's what Psalm 100 verse 4 says. Enter his gates with thanksgiving And his courts with praise. Courts and gates were synonymous in the Old Testament of the temple. It was the place of worship. In other words, the idea is that when you and I come into God's presence, we should come with thanksgiving. And we should come with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Why? Because of who God is and because of what God has done, we give him praise in an engaged way, in an exciting way, and in an expressive way. Why? Because my gratitude to God should be expressive and not passive. My cheers for my favorite team should not be louder than my praise for my faithful God. How crazy would it look for me to make so much noise about my favorite team, the Philadelphia Eagles, but not give God a better praise, who knows me by my name, who created me in his image and in his likeness, the one who saved and redeemed my soul. But I get it, for some of us, you got this entitlement spirit. But the Samaritan man actually helps us to understand something, because notice what the Bible says. At the end of verse 16, it says this: he came, he gave glory to God, he fell face down at his feet, thanking him, and he was a Samaritan. Now, whenever you see the Bible mention specific details, you always need to lean into that. Don't just be by it. Why is this man, more than anybody else, referred to by his ethnicity? Because the implication here is that the other nine people were Jewish people. So it would make sense as to why Jesus would heal them, because he was a Jew, they're Jews. But on the surface, it doesn't make sense for Jesus to do something for a Samaritan, because back in their day and time, Jews and Samaritans despised each other. There was ethnic tension. There was racial tension. So for Jesus, this Jewish rabbi, to heal this Samaritan man, he was breaking down religious barriers, cultural barriers, racial barriers, ethnic barriers, to help us to see that his grace does not have a premium, that his grace is for people of all colors, that his grace is for people of all conditions, that his grace is for people of all kinds, that his grace is for people, no matter what your color is, his grace is for you. No matter what your background is, his grace is for you. And here's what's crazy. This man knows that. I believe that the reason why this brother probably comes back with gratitude is because he recognizes, I should not have been on the receiving end of this healing. Which is why the Bible says early on, remember, they say, Master, have mercy on us. Mercy means God doing something for you that you and I did not deserve. It is God showing kindness in ways that we did not earn, in ways that we could not work for, in ways that we could not attain. This Samaritan man probably recognizes, I shouldn't be here right now. This could have gone another way. I didn't deserve to get this healing. I didn't deserve, because on the surface, everybody else would push me to the side, not just because I'm a leper, but also because I'm a Samaritan. But Jesus didn't push me to the side. But Jesus didn't cast me to the side. My life could have went another way, but Jesus showed up. My life could have worked out in this way, but Jesus showed up. He is conscious of the fact that he has been on the receiving end of something that he did not deserve. And part of the reason why some of us are not grateful today is because you think God owed you what you have. You think God owes you a good job. You think God, come on, talk to me. You think God owes you the breath in your body. But last time I checked, the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He doesn't owe you anything, but you and I actually owe him everything. Why? Because he's been good to us, and he's been better to us than we could be to ourselves. We owe him our time. We owe him our energy. We owe him because he's been good to us. And this is why our church here at the Bridge Church, this is why we ain't never going to be a passive church. This is why we will always be an expressive church and an energetic church. Because when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries, hallelujah. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? I can't be silent about what God has done. I can't be quiet about what God has done. He's been too good for me to be silent. Can I help you understand something? That miracle that you live in every single day was too costly for you to be quiet. That prayer request that got answered, it was too costly for you to be quiet. That open door that opened up for you was too costly for you to be quiet. I dare somebody in here to say today, I will no longer be quiet about the goodness of God. Where are my people today who are grateful for the mercy of God? Grateful for the good. Come on, I'm looking for some people today who can say, I'm grateful for all that God has done. I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. I didn't work for it. But God has been good. And he's been faithful. Come on, can we take about 15 seconds and practice what the scripture says? Can we shout unto God with a voice of triumph? Can we open up our mouths and give him praise? Can we clap our hands because he's been good? He didn't have to do it, but he did. Come on, I'm talking to some of y'all in here. God should have left you on the side of the road. God should have let depression take you out. But he did it. Why? Because he's good. He's faithful. And he showed up. And he pulled up. And I'm not going to give him some cute little patty cake praise when he pulled me out of some situations and pulled me out of prisons and he pulled me out of a pit. I'm going to give him my best praise. And you know what Jesus says? And if you won't praise me, the rocks will cry out. I'm going to get my glory either way. If you don't cry out, the rocks will cry out. If you don't open up your mouth, the rocks will cry out. And I believe some of y'all are here today and you've been on the receiving end of the mercy of God. You've seen God open up your doors. You've seen God heal your body. You've seen God forgive you. God has been good to you. Come on, I'm talking to some of y'all. Doctors told you you would never have kids, but you got a kid now. I'm talking to some of you. They told you you would never get the job, but God opened up the door. I'm telling you, some of them told you you would never make it past another year, but here you are, still alive because God has been good. He's been faithful. I'm not going to sit here and be silent about what God has done. Because he's been too good. There's no reason why NFL stadium, a high school stadium, should be louder than the church and by people who've been on the receiving end of the goodness and the mercy of God. I've seen God do too much. He's been too good to me for me to be quiet. I gotta say something. I gotta make a joyful noise to God because he's been good. That's what this brother does with a loud voice. He's worshiping God. And he don't care who hears it. He don't care who's around. Can you see? Can you imagine? The Bible doesn't tell us, but we know that there's some other people around. Can you imagine maybe what some of the people think? Oh my gosh, why he's so undignified? It don't take all of that. Yes, it does take all of that. When you know what God has done in my life, when God has opened up some doors, if you would have been in my shoes for longer than a day, you would know why I'm shouting the way I'm shouting. Because he's been good. And I got a running theme in my own life personally that on Sunday mornings, this is me, not you. I'm not saying you got to do this. But if I haven't lost my voice on Sundays, then I ain't worshiped enough. I'm not saying that's you. I'm saying that for me. If I haven't preached hard enough to lose my voice in between services and I gotta suck on a lozenger to get my voice back, that means I haven't used the instrument to give God my best worship. He's been too good. And if you know that God has set you free from some addictions, and if you know that God has healed, and if you know that God has answered some prayers, come on, some of y'all in here, you prayed for a family member to come to know Christ, and they came to know Christ. You prayed for friends and family to get set free, and they got set free. God has been faithful. And I can't stay silent about it. The brother bows down to the feet of Jesus, and he's with a loud voice, and he don't care who's around him. He doesn't care who's going to judge him. He doesn't care who may say, it don't take all that. He don't care nothing about that. Because he's received something. that he knows he shouldn't have gotten. Some of you all have missed the good things that God has done in your life. You've taken them for granted. But God has been so good to some of y'all in tangible ways and in spiritual ways. Some of y'all have been trying to figure out why this week alone you had more money in your bank account than you planned for. How stuff just showed up. All of a sudden your job gave you a little bit more and you scratching your head trying to figure out how did this happen. It was God. Some of you have been trying to figure out why did I make it through the darkest time in my life when I lost a loved one and I felt alone and I felt like there was a gaping hole in my heart. It's because God was there. And I gotta give him worship because he's deserving of it. Which now leads to this last point. The blessing in gratitude. Because when you and I walk in gratitude, family, and when we honor God, and when we give him worship, and when we give him praise, with our words, with our lips, and also with our life, it positions us to experience more from him. How do I know that? Because the Bible says it here in verse 17. Watch what the Bible says. Then Jesus said, "Were not 10 cleansed, where are the 9? Didn't any return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" He's amazed by the fact that the other 9 didn't come and say thank you. It's almost like Jesus, he didn't say this, but this is how I look at it. Y'all some ungrateful. After all that I did, your energy was loud when you were asking. But you went ghost when you got it. You know, that's the equivalent of, I come to church when stuff is bad and God blesses and then now I'm nowhere to be found. I stopped seeking him in prayer now that he's responded. When you were desperate, you were devoted. But then when you were delivered, you departed. But this brother says, no. That ain't gonna be my story. He's been too good to me. And I'm coming back. Notice what the Bible says in verse 19. And he told him, get up and go on your way. Your faith has saved you. What's so powerful about this, family? Because this man received something from Jesus that the others didn't receive. He received an invitation to experience a spiritual cleansing and a spiritual wholeness, to experience salvation in its fullest extent. All 10 of them received a great blessing in the form of physical healing. But this man got something more. He got spiritual, holistic healing. Saved from his sin. Set free. One person says it like this, the other 9 were healed by Jesus, but this man was saved by Jesus. And what I've realized, if we're not careful, we can find ourselves having an entitled spirit rather than a grateful spirit. We can find ourselves taking God's goodness for granted. But when your gratitude fills your heart, and when you and I are grateful, gratitude positions you and I to experience something from God that others who aren't grateful can't. A measure of God's grace. So here's what James 4:6 says. It says it like this in the New Living Translation. And he gives grace generously. And as the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Because part of me being grateful is having a humble spirit where I recognize I don't deserve what I have. And when that humility drives me to the throne of grace, I come with gratitude. And do you know what that does? It positions you now to receive more. Because God always blesses grateful people. Always. It positions you to receive something from God that not being grateful causes you to miss. He gives grace to those who know they need him. He gives grace to those who recognize they don't deserve what they have. He gives grace to those who are humble themselves before him. And the grace that he allows us to experience is something that others who don't come to be humble can't experience. I want to let you know, family, you and I got so much to be grateful for. I know your life is not perfect right now, but your life does not have to be perfect to give God praise. Because if he doesn't do another thing, he's already done enough for you. If he stopped and closed the windows of heaven right now, he's already poured out enough that would take a lifetime of eternity to give him praise for. You praise him for the stuff that you see. But there's so much other stuff that you don't see that should have happened. Which is why the Bible says his mercies are new every morning. There are certain things that should have happened to you, but did not happen to you, that you weren't even aware of because of his mercy. We have every reason to be grateful for all that God has done. But do you know the greatest reason that we have to be grateful to God? It's ultimately because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Because the Bible says that like these lepers had a skin disease. And though that was not our problem, we didn't have a skin disease, but we as humans in humanity had a sin disease. And just like leprosy caused isolation from people, our sin caused isolation between us and God. But Jesus, the great high priest, remember he said, go show yourself to the priest. I believe that this brother said, you are the priest. I'm coming to you. Because Jesus, the great high priest, went to the cross and he carried our sin upon his shoulders. He carried our shame upon his shoulders. He carried our sickness and disease upon his shoulders. And he went to the cross and he died for our sins. But he rose on the third day to give us new life and to give it more abundantly. I'm glad and grateful for what Jesus has done for us. He came to restore us and to redeem us. And I just want to know, is there anybody here this morning that's grateful for the forgiving grace and healing power of Jesus today? Come on, come on. You might not have a whole lot right now that's going on in your life that's perfect, but can you give God praise at least for the blood of Jesus? Can you give God grace, his praise for the grace that he has shown you, for the open doors allowing you to experience eternal life? I'm going to invite us to stand to our feet in this moment because I believe that Jesus is looking for a grateful people and a thankful people. A people who would say, Jesus, I thank you for all that you've done. In our culture, we celebrate Thanksgiving on one day. But in the kingdom, Thanksgiving is not a day, it's a lifestyle. Every single day, I got something to be thankful for. Thank you for strength in my body. Thank you for breath in my body. Thank you for my family. Thank you for those close friends. Thank you for my church family. Thank you for the provision. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for my gifts. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for my job. Thank you for a good report. Thank you for healing. We got every reason to be thankful. For some of us today, you need to do the thing that this man did, which is to return to Jesus. For some of you in here today, you're far from him. You've never come to him. But today he's inviting you to come to him. And the way that you do that is by giving him your life. Giving him glory by giving him your life. And inviting him into your life. So if you're here today, and you've never said yes to Jesus, if you're here today and you've never received Jesus, if you're here today and you've never asked him into your heart, today is the day. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want you to say these words after me. Say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life, a life more abundantly. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. Would you be my Lord? Would you be my Savior? In your name I pray. And every person said amen. Come on.